that psalm, Psalm 78 and verse number 8. Psalm 78, verse number 8, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Notice, if you will, in the first of verse number 8, the Bible says, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. Let's look back at verse number 6 and begin reading there, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might see their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. I've heard some preaching of a man, and in his preaching he has spoken about his father. And in speaking about his father, the way he describes his father, I think his father was probably an irresponsible rascal of a man, a wicked man. And yet it seems as though that the man had a desire to love him, and he spoke fondly of him and warmly of him. The man is told about hardship that he and his mother went through as a result of the father not being there and different things that happened. And yet it seems like there wasn't a bitterness in him, but instead there was a love for his father. I think it'd be truly said to many today, good advice to many, don't be like your father. Don't live like your father lived. Don't follow your father, especially in the realm of spiritual things. You think about the generation in which we live and the wickedness in our generation, and what advice could be given to a generation whose fathers have been stubborn and rebellious? Consider these words in Proverbs 30, beginning with verse number 11. There is a generation that curseth their father, and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids lifted up. And I believe these words would describe this generation. Now, I realize I'm speaking broadly, I'm speaking generally, and I thank God that we have got so many good young people here, so many that are doing right, living right. Thank God for that. But when you get outside of that realm, when you look out in the world in general, this is a wicked generation that we live in. You look at some of the fruit of this generation. At a time like this, of course, we need some good men to take a stand for God. We need some men like Asaph, the human instrument that God used to give us this particular psalm. The introduction says, Maskell of Asaph. So think about an instruction given by this man named Asaph. We need some men like him. First of all, we need some praying men. We need some men that will pray for a spiritual awakening in this country and revival among God's people. We need some men that will spend some time truly getting a hold of God. Here's a quotation from a book entitled The Weapon of Prayer by Mr. E.M. Bounds. Praying women whose prayers, like those of Hannah, can give to the cause of God, men like Samuel, do more for the church and the world than all the politicians on earth. Men born of prayer are the saviors of the state. And men saturated with prayer give life and impetus to the church. Under God, they are saviors and helpers of both church and state. When the church is in the condition of prayer, God's cause always flourishes. His kingdom on earth always triumphs. When the church fails to pray, God's cause decays and evil and of every kind prevails. In other words, God works through the prayers of His people, And when they fail, at this point, decline and deadness ensue. Now we might think about the effectiveness of prayer. You might say our day is dark, our day is evil. There's so many things going on that are wrong, and it would seem as though the evil so overwhelms and so outnumbers us. How could it be that anything that can be done to reverse this? Let me remind you that prayer can be extremely effectual. The Bible talks about the prophet that prayed, and for 3.5 years it did not rain. And then he prayed again, and it rained. And of course, that is an example given us, an illustration given us, of the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. God knows about the principalities and the powers. God knows about the spiritual wickedness in high places. God knows about the darkness, the spiritual darkness in our day. But God also is able by the grace of God to move among men and to change the hearts of men. And I still believe that a spiritual awakening is possible, and it needs to be that you and I, that are saved by the grace of God, should be praying for God to work, for God to move. For our sakes, for our children's sakes, for our grandchildren's sakes, let us be praying that God will move in a mighty way in this country. We need some men that are praying men. Number two, we need men that are witnessing men. The gospel of God is still the power of God into salvation. And once a person is saved, regardless of his past, God can transform that individual and move so mightily and so swiftly that it is amazing to see the changes that take place in that man. God is able still to save and to change. God is able to take a man that has been sanctified to sin and sanctify him to the Savior. God is able to use that man mightily in his work. And so we need men that are praying men. And we need men that are witnessing men, giving out that power of God unto salvation. A person that gets saved, we might say, don't be like your father, your former father, the devil. But instead, live like your new Father, the Heavenly Father. Then as well, we also need men that are instructing men. That's especially what I want to deal with this morning is we need some men that are instructing men. Now thank the Lord for the swiftness. God can move swiftly as a result of prayer. God can move swiftly as a result of someone accepting Christ, and there's a salvation of that soul. But then also we need some instructing, helping people to know the truth, to know how they ought to live. And so we need some instructing men. First of all, we need men that will instruct their peers. You might say, in a dark day like this, I feel as though there's nothing we can do. Look, if you will, beginning with verse number 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Our fathers have passed down to us a treasure chest of truth, and that is the Word of God. God has given us this wonderful resource of truth, and God has also given us the key to this great treasure chest of truth. And we need to be passing that on to those that are about us and those that go on beyond us, our children. But Americans today are largely ignorant of the Word of God. They are largely illiterate about the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? I find it interesting that in this passage, the Bible speaks about dark sayings of old. Few read the Bible, and even fewer understand the Bible. I find it interesting the words in Isaiah 29, beginning verse number 10. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers hath he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. You might imagine the frustration of a man taking the book, as it might be said, taking the book to the scholar and saying, read this. And the scholar say, I can't read it, it's sealed. And then taking it to the man that's not learned, read this. And the man saying, well, I'm not a scholar, I'm not learned. The frustration of not finding people that can read and understand the Word of God. In our day, there are so few that are right with God, that are indwelt by the Spirit of God, that are given the illumination of God so that they can understand the Word of God. And we might say that the people in our day would look at the Word of God as dark sayings of old. We have the treasure chest of truth, the Scriptures. We have the key to the treasure chest. In many houses, you may find that the treasure chest of truth is on a shelf, and they don't know how to open it. But of course, the way to open the Word of God, the way to get understanding from the Word of God, is to surrender to God. That's the key. If a person will surrender to God, then God will give him ability. God will give him the Spirit of God. God will give him illumination so that he can understand the Word of God. Now, there needs to be some men that will be instructing some people. Instructing them about the Word of God. There needs to be some men like that today. Number two, we need men that will teach truth to the next generation. Notice verse number four. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. Notice the Bible says, showing to the generation to come the praises of God. We need some men that will teach today what true praise of God is. So many people are involved in some kind of an organization or a so-called church that is supposed to be praising God, but they are not praising God in a pure and acceptable way. And I believe there needs to be instruction in that area. What is it to truly praise God? What is it to praise God in such a way that would please God? And of course, we can find instructions in the Word of God. So often today, you may find that there's a promotion of flesh. You may find that there's a putting forth of false doctrine in some of the so-called worship that goes on. John chapter number 4, verse number 24, the Bible says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. God is a Holy Spirit. And if we are to worship God as we should, we need to be a holy people that worship a holy God. The Bible says in that particular verse, they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The opposite of that is to worship God in the flesh and in hypocrisy. Well, I believe so often that's what you have. When people are supposed to be worshiping God, they're doing it in the flesh and not in the spirit. And then secondly, I believe so often that the people that are supposed to be worshiping God are hypocritical. Now, that's a worship killer. If somebody's going to really worship God as they should, they need to live holy lives away from the worship place. In their everyday lives, they need to be living holy lives. Lives where they are separated unto God. That's the way to truly worship God. Live a holy life. Worship the Lord in the Spirit, letting the Spirit lead, and not simply going the way of the flesh. Now this generation needs some teaching about what true praise is, showing the generation to come the praises of the Lord. Then we might consider as well, we need some that will teach this next generation of the Lord's present strength. Notice, if you will, the Bible says in verse number six, verse number four, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength. And we need some men that will teach others, teach this next generation about the strength of the Lord. There is strength for today. There's strength to live a victorious Christian life. We need some men that will live a victorious Christian life. And not only in their teaching, but in their lives, teach the next generation that you can, by the grace of God, live a victorious Christian life. And somebody might say, it's so hard today, and the current pulls so hard against doing right. Well, it did in Noah's day as well. But Noah walked with God, and Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Thank God that there was a man in Noah's day that lived for God in the midst of a hard situation, a violent situation. I think it was in the radio program I said something about it, but I don't know just how it went, but if you've only got eight people that get on an ark of all the population of the world, Noah may have had to have people watching out for his stuff. He's building an ark. A lot of people may have liked to have some of the materials that he had. In a violent day, in a corrupt day, it was a hard day. But by the grace of God, Noah lived for God in the midst of it all. We need some men that'll teach this next generation, you can, by the grace of God, live a victorious Christian life. I know sometimes those that are not living a victorious Christian life, in fact, those that are living like the world, may give this verse. The Bible does say in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You can do anything you ought to do by the grace of God. We need some men that will teach that. Teach it verbally, vocally, but also teach it in their lives, how to live a victorious Christian life through the strength that comes from God. Then as well, we need some that will teach this generation about past wonderful works of God. The Bible says in verse number 4, and His wonderful works that He hath done. We need some men that will teach the wonderful stories, wonderful accounts that are found in the Word of God. Notice, if you will, beginning with verse number 12, there the Bible speaks about Egypt. Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and He made them waters. He made the waters to stand up as an heap. If you follow on through, of course, this is a fairly long psalm, 72 verses. You finally get to the end, and after going through quite a bit of history of Israel, he finally gets to verses 70 through 72, and there he speaks about David that shepherded the people of God. We need some people. You don't have to be a preacher to do this. We need some people that will teach that. We need some men and women as well, but we need some men that will teach their children Bible stories. They need to know those things. We need, Bible time at home can be a wonderful time. I think it would be interesting. I'm not going to do it. But I think it'd be interesting to ask for a raise of hands. How many people here have Bible time at home on a regular basis. The way we've done it for years. Unless we're involved in a special meeting. On Sundays now, we don't have a Bible time. We have church. And on Wednesdays. But the other days of the week, it is just unless one of us is sick or something, we have Bible time. We have something from the Word of God. We have something from a recorded message. We have something from the Word of God. Children can learn so much by consistently being taught them from the Word of God. There are so many wonderful things. There are so many interesting things, exciting things that can be taught to children from the Word of God. You might say, well, my daddy didn't do it. Well, the title of my message, don't be like your father. You go ahead now. Start now and be teaching. Start now, be instructing. This generation needs to know about real worship. This generation needs to know about real Christianity. How do you live the victorious Christian life? This generation needs to know about the wonderful works that God has done in the past. Then number three. We need men that will teach others to teach. Notice, if you will, verse number 5. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. We need some men that will be teaching their children. Of course, in this case, we have Asaph, which was teaching others. And think about in a generation, teaching others of that generation, but also thinking about instructing the fathers to teach their children, teaching that next generation. We need men that will teach people to teach the Word of God. And once again, it does not have to be, you do not have to be a teacher of a class or a preacher, but in the home, there needs to be the teaching of the Word of God, so the next generation is taught the Word of God. Verse number 5. The Bible says, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who also shall be able to teach others also. Now the goal, we ought to have a desire so that we help men to develop, so that then they are faithful men that teach other men the Word of God. There needs to be this continuing on. And of course, I'm not going to live forever. You're not going to live forever. But if by the grace of God we can be instructing some in the next generation, then perhaps they'll go on and instruct others from the Word of God. Mr. Charles Haddon Spurgeon gave these words, "The best education is education in the best things. Teach him what you will. If he learn not the fear of the Lord, he will perish for lack of knowledge. Grammar is poor food for the soul, if not flavored with grace." Another section, "Children should earnestly hearken to the instruction of their parents, that they themselves may afterward be able to tell the same to their sons, and so a golden chain be formed, wherewith, being bound together, the whole family may seek the skies, whilst the father draws the son the grandson his children to Christ, as the magnet of them all," speaking of Christ, "as the magnet of them all, that they may be made one." Now that's a wonderful thing. for a father to teach his children, to teach his son in particular, we might consider, and that son to teach his son, and that son to teach his son. And you might say, well, my father didn't do that. Well, don't be like your father. If it's going to start, when is it going to start? If it hasn't started yet, why not start it now? So that it can go on and on and on by the grace of God. Then we need men that will teach with purpose. Notice verses 6 and 7. That. Here's the reason for teaching. The last of verse number 5 said, He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. So teaching the Word of God, that, beginning of verse 6, the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and forget, or not forget the works of God, but keep His commandment. Now there are some reasons for us to be teaching that the future generation, or generations actually, might know the truth. The future generations might set their hope in God. The future generations might not forget the works of God. The future generations might keep the commandments of God. And then verse number 8. The future generations are not like their stubborn and rebellious fathers. Verse 8. And might not be as their fathers. A stubborn and rebellious generation. A generation that set not their heart aright. Whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Here's something that I think you might find in this generation, is that sometimes people are stubborn, but their hearts are not steadfast with God. We need to have a steadfastness. We need some men today that have some Bible convictions and take some Bible stands. And it's not just stubbornness. Sometimes people may have a stubbornness and they may act like I'm taking a stand here, but it's got nothing to do with Bible convictions. It's just they're stubborn and taking a stand. We need some men today. They're not just stubborn. They're not wickedly stubborn, but instead they're spirit-filled. And they're convicted that here is where I'm to stand according to the Word of God. There's an interesting part of that particular verse that set not their heart aright. Think about a heart being, as it might be said, upside down. A heart that is not turned the right way. And then think about somebody setting that heart aright. When your heart gets upside down, it might be that outwardly you can hide. You can hide the fact that you are upside down within. You might look right side up without because of some of the things you say and some of the stands you take outwardly. But if your heart is upside down, eventually your life will be upside down. And the heart needs to be turned aright. Even if nobody else knows it, God knows when your heart is not aright. And so if God lays it upon your heart that you're not right in an area, that's your heart needs to be set aright. Now here we have some good instructions. And somebody might say, well, our day is so dark. There's such wickedness in our land that I don't see how anything can be done. Well, first of all, we need some men to be praying. Oh, we need men to pray for this country, pray for people in this country. You know, if it was not for children and grandchildren and spiritual children, we might be able to be, or we might tend to be somewhat disconnected and say, well, if it goes that way, it goes that way. But I got grandchildren. What kind of world are they going to live in if something doesn't change? What kind of a nation is it going to be if something doesn't change? And spiritual children, what about if you got a spiritual child, what are they in the midst of? What battles are they going to face? I've talked to Charlie and Adam about it. But if they continue on and perhaps pastor somewhere in the future or involved in some ministry preaching, they may face some great trials, some great challenges. And they need to be faithful regardless of what they face. But when you look ahead, I'm a ways down the road now. I'm not, because I don't know, God may take me home tomorrow. But still, I'm down the road a ways. I've been preaching for about 40 years now. I got saved about 40 years ago. And so a lot of my life is behind me. I'm a lot closer home than I used to be, and I'm glad of it, to be honest with you. But it doesn't mean all to have this attitude that, well, these problems, that's their problems. We need some men that will be praying. We need some people that will be praying. Praying for the nation, praying for people in the nation. We need some people that will be witnessing. Because thank God, no matter how wicked they are, by the grace of God, they can be transformed. And we need some men that will be instructing others, teaching others the Word of God so that they can teach the Word of God to others, and so on. That's the way it's supposed to be. And you might say, well, it hasn't been that way. Well, don't be like your fathers. Let's start now by the grace of God. Those of us that are here, by the grace of God, let's do our parts. We can't make everybody change, but by the grace of God, we can do our parts. And perhaps God will see to it to give a great victory. Don't forget Gideon and the 300. God doesn't have to have many, but we need to be faithful to God. And by the grace of God, He can help us to do great things for the honor and glory of God. If you will, please stand. I thank God for every good father.